The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
January this year saw people mesmerised by the scale of the fires that happened in Los Angeles. This picture just shows a satellite photo of hundreds of homes burning at the same time. About 18,000 homes and structures were burnt. That fire was a combination of drought, strong winds, low humidity, just roaring through. About $45 billion worth of damage happened in that short time. There are some people that said these fires were God's judgment for the moral decline and the sinfulness of Los Angeles. Today, as we continue our series on the fire of God, I want to stress that I am not talking about a fire which affects people indiscriminately. I'm not talking about a fire like those in Los Angeles as a judgment of God. But what I am going to talk about is the fire of God and his judgment, as it relates to specific situations, to particular people, and their attitudes and actions. Before we continue, I'd just like to pray. Lord God, I come to you and acknowledge that there are times in when my thoughts, words, and actions have hurt you and your people. Lord, I confess this as sin and ask for your and their forgiveness. Lord, cleanse me, that today as I speak about your fire, it is you speaking through me and your heart that ministers in love, grace, and truth. Amen. So last week, we saw that God uses fire as evidence of his presence. We saw that when God appeared in the fire pot and the blazing torch. We saw that when God appeared in the burning bush. When we saw God appear as the pillar of fire. We saw that when God descended as fire on Mount Sinai. And what we saw last week was that when God is present in fire, that he is releasing promises, that he is releasing direction to people, he is bringing protection to his people, and he is giving commandments. Today we're going to see that God uses fire as his servant. In Psalm 104 verse 4 it says, he makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. So God uses fire as a servant in both the Old and the New Testaments. And today we're going to look at his use of fire in the aspect of judgment. Now the first place we see this is in Genesis chapter 18, where we see God is described as a judge. It occurs in a conversation between Abraham and God about the potential destruction of two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. And as they talk, Abraham says to God, "Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" See, what this verse shows us is that God's judgment discriminates between the righteous and the wicked. The righteous are saved and the wicked receive just punishment. Now, as we see what I've highlighted there, you see the word judge has an uppercase J. It shows us here that God is the ultimate judge over all of creation. And God's judgment is based on his very character. And so if we look at Psalm 36 verses 5 and 6, it says, "Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep." We see again this aspect of justice coming through in Deuteronomy 32 verse 4. "He is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he." And so from this we see that God is a God of love, he's a God of faithfulness, he's a God of righteousness, he is a God of justice. And these character traits of God never ever change. But in his justice, he separates the righteous and the wicked, saving the righteous and condemning the wicked. And so for the righteous, we see in Psalm 25 verse 10, it says, "All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant." On the other hand, God will condemn the wicked without compromising his holiness. We see in Ezekiel 28:22, "This is what the sovereign Lord says, 'I am against you, Sidon, and among you I will display my glory. You will know that I am the Lord when I inflict punishment on you, and within you am proved to be holy.'" See, this is a remarkable thing. God can judge and condemn the wicked without compromising his holiness. Now, God's judgment comes in two time frames. The first is the judgment that is before Jesus' second coming. It's when God acts in real time to address situations. And sometimes he uses fire. The second time frame is at Jesus' second coming. When Jesus comes again, there will be a final judgment. And there the scriptures are very clear that he will use fire. The Bible scholar Roy Gain gives us a really helpful insight on God's judgment when he wrote this. "The only way God can give love, including justice, to his people is by removing those who are hurting them. He cannot help everyone. Not because he wants anyone to perish, but because many choose to reject the salvation that he freely offers to all." The first time we see God bring judgment with fire is to remove the wicked. And that occurs in Genesis chapter 19. We saw earlier God and Abraham are negotiating about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah for their evil. And Abraham asks, "If there are 50 righteous people, then would you, God, save Sodom and Gomorrah?" And God says, "Yes, if there are 50 righteous people, I will save the cities." So Abraham says, "Well, I'm on a winner. Let's see if he'll compromise at 45. So he says, "God, what if there's only 45? What if there's only 40? What if there's only 30? What if there's only 20? What if there's only 10 righteous people?" But there were not. There were not 10 righteous people. And yet God, in his grace, offers salvation to Lot and his wife, Lot's daughters, and their prospective sons-in-law, although the sons-in-law reject the offer, as we saw earlier. Then we read, "The Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord of heaven." See, God brought judgment with fire from heaven on these cities for their sins, but only after he'd offered salvation to those who could have chosen to accept his offer. And so from this, we learn that God's judgment is specific in separating the righteous and the wicked. Let us pray. Lord, help us to turn to you and be your righteous people. The next time we see God use fire in judgment is in Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 10, we read that Aaron's sons Nadab and Abihu took their censers, put fire in them and added incense, and they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So who were Nadab and Abihu? Well, they were two of Aaron's sons. Aaron had four sons. They'd been ordained as priests. Exodus 24 verses 9 and 10 tells us that these two sons, Nadab and Abihu, had actually climbed Mount Sinai when the fire of God was upon it, and they had seen the Lord themselves. They were among the very few people who were allowed to use the sacred censers of fire in worship. But it seems they'd taken the coals from an unauthorized source rather than from the altar of God that the Lord had set apart and commanded them to use. And so when Nadab and Abihu came out with their censers, they looked the part. They'd been commissioned as priests. They were dressed correctly. They were carrying the right sacred censers. They looked the real deal. But they were operating in the counterfeit. They were not using God's authorized fire. They were not following his command, as the scripture says, contrary to his command. And so God brought judgment on them with fire. We read in the next verse, "So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord." From this we learn that God's judgment is on those who look the part but use counterfeit and violate God's commands. Let us pray. Lord, remove the counterfeit from among us so that we may follow your commands wholeheartedly. Our next example comes from Numbers. In Numbers, we find the Israelites have built the tabernacle, this beautiful place of worship for God. And not only that, the pillar of fire sits above the tabernacle. And so the people of Israel at night would look out and they'd see the tabernacle and they'd see the pillar of fire over it, and they knew the presence of God in their midst. Not only that, when they got up in the morning and they came out of their tents, there was manna on the ground in front of them. God was providing all that they needed for their food each and every day. And then we read in Numbers 11, verses 1 to 3. "Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord and the fire died down." So that place was called Taberah. Taberah means place of burning. Because the fire from the Lord had burned among them. See, what we see here is the Israelites knew the presence of God. He'd been guiding them. He'd been leading them in where to go through his pillar of fire. He'd been providing for them, giving them manna that they needed each day. These people were blessed by God, and yet they were rebelling and complaining against him. From this we learn that God's judgment is on those who have experienced his presence and blessings, yet rebel and complain against God. Let us pray. Lord, help us not to be a rebellious, complaining people. Rather, may we be thankful for your blessings. But the fire of God continues. In Numbers chapter 16, we see Korah. Korah was a Levite. He was one of those who'd been commissioned and was responsible for caring for the tabernacle. And he, along with three other friends, rebel against God's appointed leaders, Moses and the high priest Aaron. And in the process, they garner the support of 250 well-known community leaders. And so we read from Numbers 16, 1 to 3, "Korah, son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and certain Reubenites, Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, and On, son of Peleth, became insolent and rose up against Moses. With them were 250 Israelite men, well-known community leaders who had been appointed members of the council. They came as a group to oppose Moses and Aaron and said to them, 'You have gone too far. The whole community is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourselves above the Lord's assembly?'" In this passage, we see a Levite, together with three collaborators and 250 well-known community leaders. These are people of influence in the community. These are people who are appointed as counselors in the community. But not only that, they were using scripture to validate their position. Last week I talked about God coming down on Mount Sinai in fire, and we saw the presence of God over Mount Sinai. And this is part of what he said from Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." And so what we find is that these people had come to confront Moses and Aaron, saying, "The whole community, Moses, we're all holy. Moses and Aaron, because of that, you're not holier than us. You shouldn't be above us. You shouldn't consider yourselves as our leaders. We're all holy." See, isn't it interesting how the people use godly words? In fact, they even used scripture to sound right. So Moses challenges them. He says, "Bring the censers of fire and let the Lord be the judge between those that the Lord has appointed as his leaders for the community. Those using spiritual power for God's glory would be saved. Those who misused spiritual power of the censers would be judged." And so next of all, God confirms that Moses and Aaron, his appointed leaders of the Israelites. He approves them. He deals with the four original instigators, Korah and his three collaborators. I'm not going to go into that story today because I want to focus on the 250. Because what we see next is the fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering the incense. Why were they judged with fire? These were people who had ability. These were people who were leaders. They were well-respected community members. They were appointed to the council. They were trying to use God's word to validate their actions. The 250 had not started the rebellion, but they had been influenced and won over by Korah and his allies. They joined with them to rebel, not only against God's appointed leaders, but against God. Because you see, what Moses said to them in verse 11 was, "It is against the Lord that you and all your followers have banded together. Who is Aaron that you should grumble against him?" See, their complaint against Aaron and Moses was not the primary problem. It was that they were against God who had appointed Moses and Aaron. From this we learn that God's judgment can come on respected leaders who misuse scripture, who abuse spiritual power in unholy ways, as well as opposing God and those he appoints. Let us pray. Lord, help us to use your scriptures with truth, worship with sincere hearts, and honour you and your appointed leaders. There's this final story of God's judgment of fire that we find in the Old Testament. And to do this, we're going to go to King Ahaziah. He was king of Israel in about 850 BC. He was a king who had rejected God. He'd walked away from the Lord. He had chosen that he would consult with and worship other gods, the Baals. He had been injured, and so he sent a delegation from his palace out to consult with this other god, Baal. And while they're on their way, Elijah, the prophet of God, comes and intercepts them. And he sends them back and says, "Tell the king that he will die." And the king didn't like that. He was upset. And so he sends an army captain out with 50 men and says, "Go and arrest Elijah." And so the captain goes out. We read this in 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 11. Elijah answered the captain, "If I'm a man of God, may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men." Then the fire fell from heaven and consumed the captain and his men. So the king sent out another captain with 50 men. And they bowl up to Elijah and they say, "Come with us, we're arresting you." And the same thing happens. So the king sends out a third captain and his men. This third captain went up and fell on his knees before Elijah. "Man of God," he begged, "please have respect for my life and the life of these 50 men, your servants. See, fire has fallen from heaven and consumed the first two captains and all their men. But now have respect for my life." You see, the first two captains and their men come and say, "We are coming in the name of the king. You will come with us." The third one comes with humility and says, "Elijah, please respect our lives. Would you please come with us?" From this we learn that God's judgment is on those who align with those who worship false gods and arrogantly disrespect those who bring God's word. Let us pray. Lord, help us to never align with those who rebel against you and worship false gods. Give us humility to hear and discern the word of God. And so as we've moved through the Old Testament, we've seen that God is using fire as his servant to judge those who are unrepentant. And so to summarize this, we see God's judgment with fire is specific in separating the righteous and the wicked. We see it's on those who look the part but use counterfeit and violate God's commands. We see it on those who have experienced God's presence and received his blessings and yet have rebelled and complained against God. We see it on respected leaders in the community who misuse scripture and abuse spiritual power in unholy ways. We see it on people who oppose God and those he appoints. We see it on those who align with those who worship false gods and arrogantly disrespect those who bring God's word. That's a very serious list of issues, isn't it? And these were the issues that brought God's judgment with fire. Now, it's getting a bit serious here, so there's some good news. All right, I want you to hear some good news. And that is, fire has not fallen from heaven in judgment that we know of since 850 BC. That's a long time ago. So, though that doesn't mean that fire won't come again in judgment. In fact, it will. As Christians, we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who after being crucified for our sins, was buried for 3 days and then rose again in life. 40 days later, Jesus ascended to heaven. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. And he is coming again to judge the living and the dead. These are the words from the Apostles' Creed. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus comes again, he will use fire in the final judgment. And I'm not going to address all of that in detail today because that would actually require a whole series of messages. But I'm just going to take some key points, some key scriptures. And one of those I want to start with is one that I mentioned last week when I talked about John the Baptist when he was asked about Jesus. And John the Baptist said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And so last week we saw that the Holy Spirit came with fire in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. So we considered that last week. Today I want to address one aspect of the "and fire" section. Some Bible scholars interpret this passage as meaning that Jesus will baptize those who are believers, those who have repented. And when they have repented, they will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But we also see that he will bring judgment with fire on those who are wicked and unrepentant. And they form that view because of what happens in the next verse. In the next verse it says, "His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So here it's talking about the seed, which is those who are believers, And because we know that God is specific in separating the righteous from the wicked, the righteous are the seed that he gathers and puts into his barn, and the unrighteous, the unrepentant wicked, are those that are the chaff, and those, it says here, he will burn with unquenchable fire. In the New Testament, judgment with fire is seen in the context of Jesus' second coming. We see this in 2 Corinthians 1, 6 and 7. It says, God is just. See, we saw that in the Old Testament, this theme of God's justice. We see it again here. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. See, these verses reinforce God's justice, but they also reinforce that his judgment or his punishment is specific to those who have troubled the Lord's followers. And that will happen when Jesus comes again. Or in 2 Peter 3 verse 7 it says, by the same word the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. So again we're seeing here that judgment with fire will come against the ungodly. And finally in Revelation 20, we see at the end of the 1,000-year reign that Satan and all those who align with Satan will be destroyed with fire from heaven. In Revelation chapter 20, starting from verse 7, it says, when the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. So in other words, these are all of the people who have aligned themselves with Satan. And then it says, but fire came down from heaven and devoured them. See, as we have very briefly considered just a few of the scriptures in the New Testament that address the issue of fire and judgment, we see that God is always just. That's who God is. That's his character. He is always just. But in his love, he will separate the righteous from the wicked and unrepentant. What we see is for those who are righteous, because they put their faith in Jesus Christ alone, they need never fear the fire of judgment. Because they will go to be with God for all eternity. That's the promise that is given in Scripture for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Those in the latter group, the wicked and unrepentant, it says that they'll be subject to judgment with fire. Maybe not on earth now in real time, but at the end of time, when Jesus comes again with fire, he will bring judgment with fire for eternity. Now, just in case you're thinking, okay, last week Andrew talked about God's presence and promises, and that was fairly happy. Today he's gone really serious. Where's he going to go next week? Let me just preempt. Next week I'm going to talk about God's holiness with fire, and then the refining fire that helps us to become increasingly holy. But today, I want to finish with the opportunity to know God's love and justice. I want to take us back to that quote from Roy Gain. The only way God can give love, including justice, to his people is by removing those who are hurting them. He cannot help everyone, not because he wants anyone to perish, but because many choose to reject the salvation that he freely offers to all. God desires no person to perish, and he freely offers salvation to all through faith in Jesus Christ. And so today I encourage you that if you can't say that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord, Savior and Master, then there is no better time than today to do something about that, and to tell Jesus that you choose to follow him wholeheartedly. And if you want to do that, then I'm going to pray, and I'd invite you to either choose to speak those words from your heart or to speak them in your own words from your heart. Let's pray. Jesus Christ, I believe you are the Son of God. who died on the cross for me. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. And it's time for me to stop rebelling against you. Please forgive my sins and make me part of your family. I invite you to be my Saviour, Lord, and Master. From now on, I will follow you and live the way you want me to. Thank you. Amen. So if you have prayed that prayer for the first time, then know that you are forgiven. And God has welcomed you into his family, and you need not fear the fire of judgment. It is reserved for those who are wicked and unrepentant. So now let us recap what we've heard from Scripture today and ask what God has said to you today. What we've talked about is this idea that God's judgment with fire is specific in separating the righteous and the wicked. It is on those who look the part but use counterfeit and violate God's commands. It's on those who've experienced God's presence and received his blessings and yet have rebelled and complained against God. It's on respected leaders in the community who misuse Scripture and abuse spiritual power in unholy ways. It's on people who oppose God and those he appoints. It's on those who align with those who worship false gods and arrogantly disrespect those who bring God's word. And then we also see, coming through from the New Testament, God's judgment with fire is coming when Jesus comes again. Let's take a minute just to stop, to reflect, to consider how you wish to respond. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you that you're a God of love, faithfulness, righteousness, and justice. Thank you that through your love, faithfulness, righteousness, and justice, you want none to perish. And so we thank you that through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have made a way for all to receive forgiveness of our sins and be restored into a loving relationship with you. Lord God, we ask for your holy fire to burn through our church, our people and property, to reveal what is righteous and what is wicked in your eyes. Lord, let your fire burn in the lives of each person here and in our church, causing us to be convicted of our sin and turn wholeheartedly to you. O Lord, make the consequences of your judgment clear to those who choose to rebel against you, so that they may make an informed choice. Lord, for those who have repented and chosen you, we acknowledge that we have sinned. At times we too have violated your commandments. We too have rebelled and complained against you. We have misused Scripture. We have disrespected your leaders and those who have brought your word. Lord, there are times we have aligned with the false gods of this world. Lord, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom forgiveness is possible. Lord, we confess our sins and ask for your forgiveness, so that we may truly grow in righteousness to be the people you created us to be. So come, God, and bring your fire of your presence, your promises, your direction and protection, and your commandments. Come, God, and bring your fire of judgment so that we who choose you will have no fear of the fire of judgment, but will live with certainty of your love, faithfulness, righteousness and justice until Jesus comes again with fire and we go to be with him forever. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746 361 144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.